Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the sound of the Liberty Bell. This year, we celebrate the 175th anniversary of its ringing, and this month, the Eternal Light dedicates its programs to the American heritage of liberty, which is our common challenge. Our drama today is Morton Wishengrad's Mr. Lincoln and the Rabbi.
In the spring of 1860, few men could foresee the terrible harvest of the year's end. Benjamin Zold was my name. I was the rabbi of the congregation Ohev Shalom in the city of Baltimore. 1861. I shall tell you a story of that year. A story of a man called Simeon Marks and another man called Abraham Lincoln. There was peace in the little study of my house on Utah Street. The Sabbath sermon was nearly finished, and I was content. Content, that is, until two members of the congregation paid me an unexpected visit.
Rabbi Zolt, we don't want you to deliver that sermon.
That's curious, Simeon. You don't want me to deliver a sermon you know nothing about.
We can guess what's in it.
Jacob's right. Here in Maryland, we're Southerners, Rabbi Zolt. We don't like slavery any more than you do. But we're Southerners and won't see the South attack.
You're quite right, Simeon. It is a sermon against slavery.
Tear it up, Rabbi Zolt. Stop preaching against the law of Maryland. It's no crime to own a slave in this state, and you know it.
Yes, I know. What is called law we've made into an assassin.
Rabbi Zolt, what good are sermons delivered to empty pews?
I understand you, Simeon.
We don't want to be harsh, Rabbi. We like you and we respect you. We think you're needed here.
We're not asking you to defend slavery, but we're asking you not to condemn it. And we won't be pushed or goaded. These sermons have split the congregation down the middle. It's got to end, Rabbi Zolt. And if it doesn't, well, you will have no choice but to leave.
Drink your tea, Benjamin. Don't let it get cold.
No, it's all right, Sophia. I just want to think.
There are other congregations. There's a place waiting for you in New England.
Baltimore is my home. Perhaps Simeon is right. Sophia, I'm a rabbi. I don't want my sermons to be a bleeding sore. I'm supposed to tend my flock, not irritate it.
Your tea is getting cold, dear. Now stop worrying. Besides, Mr. Ephraim is going to be here soon to talk about that pulpit in Boston.
I know, Sophie.
What are you going to tell Mr. Ephraim?
I'm all confused. I don't know, Sophie. I just don't know.
Yeah, nice country this, Rabbi Zolt.
Warmer than Boston.
I like Boston. You couldn't get me to stay here for all the money in the world.
No, Mr. Ephraim?
No. Slavery is a curse against humanity, Rabbi. Kill a man and you kill just one man. Enslave him, you enslave his generations. It's a blacker sin than murder.
Mr. Ephraim, will you forgive a personal question?
Yes, of course.
What brought you south?
To offer you a new pulpit, Rabbi.
What else?
Why, I've got to buy some cotton. Our mill's running low. You don't make textiles without cotton, you know.
Slave cotton, Mr. Ephraim.
We can't help ourselves, Rabbi Zold. That's a mighty unfriendly thing to say.
The South can't help itself any more than the North.
Whoa!
Mr. Ephraim.
Thanks for driving me to the station, Rabbi.
Please, don't be angry and try to understand me, sir. I hate slavery, but I don't blame the South for it. I don't blame the North. I blame no section. I live in the South. I see men like other men, no better, no worse. The North can rail as much as it chooses, but the North bears equal responsibility with the South. Southern slave cotton makes Yankee mills turn. The North can be as sanctimonious as it likes. Mr. Whitney's cotton gin was a Northern invention. For every Southern slave ship, there were probably three Northern vessels. I'm not defending slavery. But in God's name, let the North stop being so infernally pious and self-righteous about a trap it's fixed for the South.
That's a pretty long speech, Rabbi Zold. I suppose it means you've turned us down?
Yes, Mr. Ephraim. If they'll have me, I'll stay in Maryland.
Suit yourself, Rabbi. Tell me, if the war comes, where will you stand? With the North or with the South?
That's a hard question, Mr. Ephraim. I'll give you a hard answer. Hard for me, at any rate. I'll stand with the North.
Well, I better get back home before my head spins. Isn't anybody clear about anything?
Well, there was a French philosopher named Pascal, Mr. Ephraim. He said once that truth is two opposites. That's about the only thing that is clear. I'm going to stick to my congregation, Mr. Ephraim. That's all I can do. The sermon Simeon asked me not to deliver was in my hand. The service was over. The congregation was tense, for I had announced a sermon and a discussion to follow. Sophie sat in the first pew watching my face. Simeon watched also, and there was a plea in his eyes, a plea which I had to disregard. I have chosen for my text a verse from Isaiah. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee for a covenant of the people, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Members of the congregation, I'm reluctant to be a cause of dissension in your midst. Yet it seems to me that not I, but the word that we live by is that cause. That word, this book, cannot be warrant or authority against humanity itself. There are some I know who open the Bible to find sanction for slavery. They falsify the word of God. Will you let the forger find sanction in the Bible for forgery? Or the adulterer find sanction for adultery? Simeon Marks, you came to me in friendship and gave me friendly counsel. Forgive me for addressing you this way. But Simeon, how shall I answer evil if not with justice? If slavery is a right, humanity is a fraud. And if I remain silent, I'm without conscience, or else I'm a hypocrite.
May I speak, Rabbi?
Please do, Simeon.
There's a colored man in my house called Jim. I have taught him to read. I've clothed him. I've tended him when he's sick. I've loved him as I love a brother. Am I evil because of that?
No, Simeon.
I am no scholar, but I know a bit of Talmud. You may not eat clean bread, and thy servant eat moldy bread. You may not drink old wine, and he new wine. You may not sleep on soft cushions, and he on straw. But is that how I have treated Jim? I do not think so.
You're a master who is kind to a slave. There is evil in that, Simeon.
But I am not responsible for the system. I was born in the South, and I'm proud of that fact. And, Rabbi, you know in your heart and soul that there is more understanding and consideration for the Negro here than there is in the North.
You beg the question, Simeon.
I don't see that.
Your kindness is a scourge more bitter than the whip.
In the name of God, how can you say that, Rabbi?
I say it because it is true. This man, Jim, is a person.
I treat him with consideration.
It's an easy thing for the master to be benevolent. Simeon, you cite the Talmud. Look in Mishnah Sanhedrin. Only one man was created by God as the common ancestor of all men for the sake of the peace of the human race, that one man may not say to another, my ancestor was better than thine.
Have I said that I am better than Jim?
Your actions say it. Your benevolence says it. You condescend to him. You tolerate him. Does a man condescend to his equal?
Isn't it better for Jim to stay with me and be treated well?
That is no answer. He's a human being. He deserves your good treatment as a man, not as your slave.
What if I freed Jim? One man, one among millions. Is it right to ask me to do what no one else does?
I remind you that you're a Hebrew, a descendant of those Israelites who were the first to proclaim liberty. There is a consuming fire beneath our feet. I must speak. I must warn you. What is it you want from me, a platitude?
Cantor, I think it's time for us to sing Yigdal. We sang the words of the concluding Sabbath hymn. Words of love and kindness and mercy for man created in the image of God. And as we sang, I thought of the besetting sin of our generation. To open the book, to scan the text, and to seek confirmation only for what has already been done or for what is desired. I was only a rabbi. I was no bookkeeper of consciences. Yet Simeon was on my conscience. He troubled me. He troubled me a great deal in the days that followed, and not only Simeon, but the man Jim, Simeon's slave. And then one night, there was a knock on the door of the house in New Dorset.
I'll see who it is, Benjamin. Oh, is something wrong with Simeon?
Please, ma'am. You've got to let me in quick.
But Jim, what's happening?
Please, ma'am, please close the door.
Of course.
Oh, Reverend, you mustn't let them take me. I came to you because I heard speak of you. You can't let them find me. I'll kill myself first, Reverend.
Sophie, go and tend to the baby.
But Henrietta's fast asleep.
Please, Sophie, wake her. Change her diaper. Do something.
Yes.
Thank you, Sophie.
You're selling your wife out. You're selling her to tell him about me.
No, Jim, believe me. Jim, you've run away, haven't you?
I won't be taken. No one's going to send me back. Tell her.
I ask you to believe me, Jim.
Wear it on the book. Oh, I'm sorry, Reverend. I'm scared. I'm terrible scared. I'm sorry.
Sit down, Jim. That's better, isn't it? Why did you run away, Jim? Were you mistreated?
No. No, the master ain't like other men. He never hurt me.
Then why did you run away?
Your people were slaves once. You ran away.
The baby's all right, Benjamin. Here, Jim, I brought you this. Drink it while it's hot.
Thank you, kindly, ma'am.
All right, Jim.
Why is everybody good to me? I don't want no one to be good to me. I don't want to be treated special. I can't stand it no more. I can't. Don't know where to turn. Don't know what to do or where to go. There ain't no place for me to go. No place. Nowhere.
Jim, please.
You say to the white man, mister, you forget your hat. He say, black man, go get it for me.
Jim, do you take sugar?
Yes, ma'am. Two lumps, please.
Thank you, Sophia. I wanted to spare you this.
Oh, Henrietta's up. It's time to see
you. You can stay here, Jim.
You won't give me up, Reverend? I don't want to keep saying it, but...
Trust me, Jim. I shan't violate the law.
Then you are going to give me up. That's the law. Oh, no use. No use at all, my dear.
Please, trust me. Please. Jim, I obey an older law than the fugitive slave law. The law of the Bible. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which escaped his master unto thee. We'll find you a blanket, Jim. Please try not to worry. You'll be safe here.
Simeon! Simeon! in marks. Hold on there.
I'm in a great hurry, Rabbi. Something's happened. Something I wouldn't have wanted to happen.
Oh, I won't trouble, Simeon. Will you come to my house tonight for Sabbath evening dinner?
Yes, of course. Thank you, but I've got to go now. Thank you again, Rabbi.
Simeon, have you heard? Rabbi, Simeon, have you heard the news?
Have they found him, Jacob?
Found whom? For heaven's sakes, what are you talking about?
What's your news, Jacob?
Guns have been firing on Fort Sumter. It's come. War between the states.
I'm afraid you haven't eaten very much, Simeon.
He's hardly touched a thing, not even my potato pudding.
I'm upset. Forgive me for spoiling your dinner.
Oh, it's all right, Simeon. I'll clear away the things.
Stay a while, Sophie. There's always time for a Sabbath song of grace. Isn't there, Simeon?
I suppose so.
Good. Zur Michello. And a little less vibrato this time, Sophie.
Zur Michello, Michello.
I brought some more tea.
Jim. Oh, Jim, thank God you're saved.
Yes. I'm safe, Master.
I'm so glad to see you, Jim. I've missed you terribly.
I've missed you, Master.
Why did you run away from me?
Well, I didn't run away from you.
No?
No, sir. I ran away from being a slave.
Will you come back, Jim?
I've stopped being a slave.
Come back, Jim. Come back as a free man. You're free.
You mean that, Mr. Simeon?
I've never lied to you, Jim.
No, sir. You've never lied to nobody. I'll be mighty glad to work for you, sir. Mighty proud.
And this is how the war began for Simeon Marks, with the freeing of a slave. They took each other by the hand while Sophie and I looked on, and it was as though 100 Sabbath candles were shining. Yet even in their radiance, I remembered the words of the French philosopher, "Truth is two opposites." For the congregation Ohev Shalom, like the American states, was sundered by the war. Some went north to put on the uniform. Some went south and wore a Confederate gray. And Simeon Marks came to me in the synagogue to say goodbye.
I'm leaving tonight, Rabbi Sword.
Well, you're past the age of fighting. Why do this, Simeon?
I'm a southerner, Rabbi.
But you can't fight. You've just freed Jim. It's irrational.
I'm not fighting for slavery. I'm fighting for the right of the South to work out its own solution.
It's inconsistent with everything you've done.
Maybe. The world would be pretty dull if people were logical and consistent.
Simeon, please, reconsider.
I can still do things for the South. There's one way I can serve.
What way, Simeon?
Goodbye, Rabbi.
Simeon, what way? Tell me.
Goodbye, Rabbi.
You won't tell me?
I can't. But it's a way to help the South, that's all I can say. God bless you, Rabbi. Look after Jim for me.
The battles of Bull Run were fought, and the sick and the wounded were brought back. We tended them, men in soiled blue, men in bloody gray. We tended them as best we could. And Sophie and I looked into the sightless eyes and the bleeding faces, looking for Simeon. The months passed, and the war was a terrible sickness and an agony, and we continued to look and to search. Then, there was an end of searching.
Rabbi, this letter came. Mr. Simeon asked me to tell you.
Yes, Jim, tell me what?
He's been taken by General Meade, taken 3 days ago. They let him send this letter. He's been tried, and he's going to be shot.
Shot?
Yes, Reverend. They're going to shoot him. Shoot him for a Confederate spy.
Mr. Lincoln can see no one, Rabbi. The cabinet is meeting.
A man's life hangs in the balance. Mr. Hay, I must see the president.
I'm sorry, Rabbi. My orders are strict.
Well, then please give Mr. Lincoln a message for me.
All right. I guess I can do that. You'll find paper and pen on the desk.
No, give him this Bible. Let me mark this passage. Yes. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Take this in, Mr. Hay. Take this to Mr. Lincoln.
Strange you should send me a Bible, Rabbi.
Not strange, Mr. Lincoln. I counted on it. I believe you were brought up on it, sir. So was I. Mr. Lincoln, if thy friend asks thine assistance and thine enemy asks thine assistance, it is thy duty to aid thine enemy, because this is an act of self-conquest.
The Bible, Rabbi?
No, Mr. Lincoln, the Talmud. But perhaps you remember from the book of Proverbs, if thine enemy be hungry,
give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. I try not to forget, Rabbi.
Then pardon Simeon Marks.
I cannot. I cannot help him. I am the leader of an army, and he is my mortal enemy. Rabbi, war has its own justice. If this man is a good soldier, he understands that. Look, Rabbi Zold. The silk flag I have kept in this drawer for many months. A man by the name of Abraham Cohn sent it to me. The city clerk of Chicago, I believe. I think you know the Hebrew text he has sewed on it.
Yes, Mr. Lincoln. Have I not commanded thee, be thou strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
I hope the Lord will also be with this spy, Rabbi Zold. I'm very sorry.
Don't grieve, Rabbi Zold. Mr. Lincoln was right. War cannot be tempered. It cannot be softened. It is mean, bloody, and unnatural. You can either put a fire out or let it burn. But you can't make the flame caress your cheek. I'm ready, Rabbi Zold.
Jim's this for you.
My prayer shawl. Thank Jim for me.
I will, Simeon.
I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. You see, I remember your text. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. I hope it's true. Rabbi.
Yes, Simeon.
I'm a coward. I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid of pain. Terribly afraid. So much pain in the world. I hope there will be less now. I hope something good comes out of this war, out of all the pain. I've worked for the South, but whoever wins, I pray to God it's for something better. I pray to God.
And I will give thee for a covenant of the people to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in introducing Dr. William H. Kilpatrick, Professor Emeritus at Columbia University and forthcoming guest lecturer at the Institute for Religious and Social Studies of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, Dr. Kilpatrick.
The American promise foresees a nation devoted to freedom and equality. This means the equal chance for each individual to make the best possible of himself irrespective of race, color, creed, land of origin, or status of ancestry. It means further a way of life based on respect for the worth and dignity of the human individual as such. That each institution, including the state itself, exists to serve the individual, not he it. It still further means that each individual shall have equal opportunity with others, on merit only, and without group discrimination, at all desirable living, in schools, in playgrounds, in railroads, in hotels, in restaurants, in job holding, in residential quarters. This American promise has been essentially stated in the Declaration and in the amended Constitution, but more significantly, its general trend is even now being built in new and effective degree into the active ideals of the American people, and this especially within the past 10 years. Even with the treatment of the Negro, definite progress is now being made, as Walter White forcefully shows in the current Saturday Review of Literature. But prejudice and discrimination are not confined to the Negro, as many who hear me know only too well. What about the American promise here? This promise, I believe, will win out. There is among our people a moral attitude which sooner or later asserts itself. The world criticism of the American treatment of its minorities has forced sensitive Americans to rethink its whole minority problem. As never before, our people are thinking of their own conduct. The American promise may be distressingly slow in fulfillment, but I believe it is certainly on the way. As a promise, it will be kept.
Thank you, Dr. Kilpatrick. Our Eternal Light drama today, Mr. Lincoln and the Rabbi, was written by Morton Wishengrad. Featured in the cast were Roger DeCoven as Rabbi Zold, Peter Capel as Simeon, Maurice Ellis as Jim, William Adams as Abraham Lincoln. The orchestral music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.